Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, the NBA response to the anti-vaccinators in the league. NBA spokesman Mike Bass says any player who elects not to comply with local vaccination mandates will not be paid for games that he misses. The per-game sums involved here would cross the $300,000 threshold for the Nets' Kyrie Irving and the Warriors' Andrew Wiggins, both of whom have salaries in excess of $30 million this season. If I'm Kyrie Irving and I have this stance, I'm demanding a trade. That way I can play for a team who doesn't have these local laws, you know?
Yeah, I was curious because, like I said, we were talking to Jonathan Fagan, the beat writer for the Rockets for the Chronicle earlier. I was curious to see how this was going to, like, reverberate through the NBA, because as I said yesterday when you and I were talking about this, look, you got a contract. You signed it. So whatever your beliefs are, if you're so passionate about your beliefs that you won't get vaccinated, then you should also be as passionate to say, and if it means losing my salary, I will forfeit the games that I don't play. Because now the league has done what you want each player to do, is step up to the plate and back it up with your pocketbook by saying, this is how valuable I think this is to me personally in my beliefs, so I'm willing to give up the money to go with it. If you're not, then you know what you're saying to your team? Yeah, it's about me. It's not about us, and I'm not on board with the team game, and I don't have your guys' back.
I hate politics in sports. You know this, because I'm a one-trick pony. I hate even thinking about politics. I hate all aspects of it. It's all a game, in my opinion. Like, if you have the personal beliefs, I'm with you. The personal beliefs come with – sometimes they come at a cost, right? And it's unfortunate if you're Kyrie Irving and you have this belief, and it's unfortunate if you're Andrew Wiggins and you have this belief, because you're in a couple of towns where it's against the city's regulations to play basketball, although it's kind of weird for a visiting team to be able to play basketball there. I don't quite understand that. And if you know why, please let me know. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. But, you know, it's, I can see also the unfairness of it if you're Kyrie Irving. And let me, I know that Jonathan Fagan told us that every Rocket is vaccinated. But,
which I did not know.
But you could play in Houston if you don't have the vaccination. So it is a little bit, it's unfortunate that Kyrie and Andrew Wiggins are in those cities.
Well, then, and I think you'd be doing the Nets a favor, then if the Nets say they want to be accommodating, then, hey, Kyrie, let us trade you somewhere where they don't have these rules about vaccinations, and we'll gladly trade your ass off of this roster because you've been nothing short of a distraction that hasn't played nearly as much as we'd wanted you to when we put this big three together. And if you're okay with that, then we'll ship you off to a city in which they don't have those vax rules, and in return, we'll probably be a lot better off even if we get a bowl of soup, simply because of the fact that you've been such a pain in the ass for everybody to deal with, from a teammate, from a front office standpoint, from an availability standpoint. There's a reason why he said he'd retire if he was traded, because he wants to control all the narratives. Well, there's certain that ones that you can't control. The NBA's showing you which one is going to be front and center right now.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. I'm ready for all of this stuff to be a thing of the past, although it doesn't look like it's going to be a thing of the past anytime soon. Rockets season opening in 3 weeks. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And I think it is fair, too, if you miss a game, you shouldn't get paid for that game, because, I mean, you do have to make sacrifices
if it's your own doing
that you have. If it's your own doing. Look, I'm not on either side of it. But if you're missing games, you shouldn't get paid for those games, right?
Let's also keep in mind, though, Jeremy, he needed a couple of just personal days a couple times last season with no injury associated with them, and one where he was trying to fudge whether he tested positive or not, and they paid him for all those games.
Yep. I mean, if I missed a game like that, I'm broadcasting the freelance stuff that I do, I don't expect to get paid for that game. You know what I mean? So I think it's a fair alternative and what it looks like the NBA is going to do. Dennis Schroeder, who is now back with the Lakers, this was a big conversation whenever he signed the deal with the Lakers, because it looked like he took a far less money than what everybody thought that he got offered originally. There were talks that he got offered an $84 million contract. Well, he said that never happened, that he never received that offer from the LA Lakers.
CYA, baby. CYA. And you know what? If you're the Lakers, you're better off without him. You ended up with Russell Westbrook, and you got, you know, you got a lot of people talking even more about the Lakers. LeBron likes the fit a lot more. I think
Do you like that fit a lot more?
I think I have a lot of question marks about if he wants to play a traditional point guard role. Here's the other thing that people aren't thinking about. You know who, you know, Russell Westbrook hated Joel Embiid. They got into it on the floor a lot.
Yeah.
You know who he got into more issues with on the floor
and had
more issues? No. Rajon Rondo.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of interesting dynamics around that Lakers team, and it's a much older roster. I think they're fully capable of being the representative of the West in the finals, and they're good enough to do that. I don't know that they're good enough to beat the Nets. I told you, I think that the way strategically the Nets went about their offseason in strengthening their core, their rotation, and even their support players with a nice cross-section of youth and veterans, I think that the Nets did more than the Lakers. But from a Lakers perspective, the fact that we're talking about them being the clear-cut number one seed for the West again means they did something right. I don't think if they stayed status quo from last season with Dennis Schroeder that they would be considered and respected as much as the number one seed. I think this is a cover-your-ass move, and if you're Rob Pelinka, you go, you know what? It worked out great for us, so we're not gonna say a word, which basically lets you say whatever you want, and if you want to try and soft-sell it so you don't look as bad for turning the other cheek on 84 mil, then hey, we'll just let it go like that. But if you really wanted to get into it, and I think when push came to shove, I think Pelinka would tell you, oh yeah, we had conversations about that offer, and they said it right from the get-go that wasn't enough.
Yeah, he ended up with Boston. He there's also the report and the story that he believed he was worth more than $100 million, and that's why he denied the or turned down the $84 million offer from the Lakers. As far as the Lakers are concerned, I would bring Russell Westbrook off the bench because I think you need to limit the minutes of LeBron James. I'm starting Rondo. I think it's a better fit on the floor. I think Rondo's not a great shooter either, but I want Russell Westbrook to be the guy for 20 minutes a game. I want him to be my star for 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, but Jeremy, you can't do that if being a star involves him shooting a lot of jump shots.
I don't want him to shoot jump shots.
Right, but that's what when you take him off, take the stars off the floor and put him in with the second team, he's going to do. Because of the fact that the defense is going to focus and be able to double-team him. When he's on the floor with AD and LeBron, you can't double-team him because you have to double and pay extra attention to the other two. So, therefore, he can penetrate. He can pound the rim. He can dish the rock. He can do the things where he doesn't have to shoot the ball where he's vulnerable. As opposed to put him on the floor with the second unit, and now the second unit defensively is going to form that wall like they do with Giannis and say, you're not going to beat us getting into the paint. You are going to get every opportunity to shoot every open jump shot you can get.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes a little bit more sense because you put him on the floor with the star power. I just feel like my thought was coming more with the idea that you need to give LeBron some rest. Like you need to keep his minutes like to a minimum as much as you can. Like he's got to be on the floor a lot. He's one of the best players in the NBA. But you need to be thinking the long term for LeBron James, what he's going to look like in the postseason. And you have to kind of do the same thing with Anthony Davis, as injury prone as he is. Another Laker that they brought in this hillbilly Kobe, they like to call him, Austin Reeves, who's from a little small town in Arkansas. I saw him firsthand, actually, when he was at Wichita State, and they had a falling out with his head coach there at Wichita State. I never thought he'd be a player in the league, to be honest with you. He had a good year last year at Oklahoma. He's a good shooter. I'm curious to see how much he actually plays for the LA Lakers, but they're having some fun with Austin Reeves, and that he got the nickname Hillbilly Kobe because he's from the middle of nowhere in Arkansas.
Okay, but it's a disrespect to Kobe in a certain regard. You can have fun with it. It's all fun and games. You know, he's a guy that you're going to have to build up something for so that people pay attention to some of the other guys on the roster, I guess, at some point. But is he going to be a factor for the Lakers? Probably not. Is he going to make the final roster? Maybe if they need someone at a very low salary to be their two-way player or to take up a spot at the end of the bench that you probably are never going to see the time of day on the floor. So be it. So, you know what? There's all kinds of great stories in training camp. If he's like Horton and he can actually show that he's got skill, that he belongs on the floor, that he ends up being a guy that other teams are going to seek and want to try and see if this is available because of his talents, then we can call him all kinds of funky, cool, hip names.
I'm getting bashed on the text line for saying Russ off the bench. 713-780-3776 if you want to join the bashing. 713-780-ESPN, number to call, number to text. Also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Coming up next, how serious should you be taking the injuries of Zach Greinke and Michael Brantley? That's next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at New Brakes. It's nubrakes.com. The reason why I tell you about them, well, you can ask me. You can ask a ton of listeners that have asked me and taken my advice and gone to New Brakes and realized they come to you to do what they do. You know what? Time is money. You don't have to sit in a nasty, dingy waiting room. That's right. I said dingy, Jeremy, not dingy. Waiting room, where you have vending machine food, bad television, uncomfortable furniture, and you're at the mercy of your mechanic for up to a couple of hours while they try and fix your car while upselling you on other things they say you need. Nope, they do strictly brakes. Their technicians are experts at brakes. They are actually certified to do just brakes, and they come to you. They come to your job. They come to your office. They come to your garage or your driveway, and while you're doing other things, multitasking, and not missing a whole bunch of hours of the day, they're fixing your brakes with competitive rates to any other brake shop in town, and they do it in less than an hour in most cases. They came here to the studio while we were doing the show, 40 minutes in and out. Great job. Brakes fantastic. Like they said, to a T. And if you mention ESPN 97.5, you save 10%. But more than that, you're going to save time. Time is money. And that's why you go to New Brakes as well. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. It's nubrakes.com. That's nubrakes.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
And make sure you're tuning into the Wheelhouse this evening, 3 to 7. Couple of really good guests. Gary Kubiak, best Texans head coach ever? Kubiak or O'Brien? Best head coach ever in Texas history. Yeah, I think so, too. Gary Kubiak will be joining the Wheelhouse at 4:30. And then the best quarterback you'll hear in the city of Houston on the airwaves today, Joe Theismann. We'll be on at 5:30.
Joe loves him some Joe.
Joe Theismann at 5:30. One of the more gruesome injuries of all time in the NFL. All right, how seriously are we taking these injuries of Zach Greinke and Michael Brantley? We've gotten some good news, maybe. We'll start with Michael Brantley. And also, let's throw Ryan Pressly into the mix, too, a little bit, right? I think Greinke, the injury that he sustained, the little neck injury, I'm not so sure if it was so much neck injury or maybe he just wasn't pitching well. Maybe it was like the whiplash of looking at the baseballs flying by him. But the injury to Greinke, we already know that, look, he's at best a bullpen pitcher in the playoffs for the Astros. And I think Greinke did the Astros a favor by coming to them and saying, look, this is the role I should have in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, look, in a regular year, if we're talking about, look, if I said to you, Jeremy, make this decision a quarter of the way through the start of the season. Make this decision at the Greinke All-Star break.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. But you know what? You got to do what's best for the team. And at this point, what's best for the team is go with the knowns. What you know is you've got good young arms that have playoff experience that can be starting pitchers for you that you can hopefully rely on, but you know that or should be able to give you innings and a lot of pitches. You don't know what Zach Greinke you're going to get because he's not the regular Zach Greinke you had all year. We know that Kyle Tucker had COVID, and when he came back, he was 10 to 15 pounds light, and it took him a while to get back into the swing of things again, literally. Zach Greinke has proven already, and then the neck injury on top of this, he's not stretched out enough to be the Zach Greinke of the first half of the season. So, therefore, you have to handle him with kid gloves. You have to be hyper-cautious, and that's where you go from the unknown of how soon will it take, where was he going to be, can he get back to where he was, and you go to the known, which is without him, he can still be a short innings pitcher for me, 1, 2, 3 innings, maybe even 4. But I also have plenty of other guys that can take his spot in the rotation that I feel good about.
Yeah, the way he's pitching, you just don't trust him. And I think it's a good thing that either the two sides have agreed to this or is Greinke's calling, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's Dusty looking out for his veteran, right, and keeping Greinke, like, you know, doing a solid for him, saying that it was Greinke's idea to go to the bullpen. All right, the Michael Brantley injury. James Click on the flagship this morning said that it looks like Brantley will be back in the lineup today. He hinted at the fact that Brantley's going to be in the lineup. Dusty Baker, though, hinted yesterday before the game in the little press conference, press scrum that he does in the dugout each day before games, that he's not sure that Brantley can play the outfield. So how does that impact the Astros if Brantley can't play a position in the postseason?
Well, it affects you in the fact that, like you said earlier in the show, that you're not your best defensive ball club. Brantley might not have the greatest arm in the world, but he's an experienced outfielder. He's played every outfield in every stadium. And he's a guy that you know is not going to hurt you defensively. He's just not going to be like speedy cutting off balls in the gap. You know, with Yordan, his ticker doesn't get it to where his heart rate gets up high enough for him to aggressively pursue baseballs. And everything is going to be at the same speed. And there's also plenty of parks in this league that he hasn't played in, especially if you get into a World Series situation and trying to hope that you're playing in a park where at least he knows the nooks and crannies of an outfield. Now, on the good side, he normally hits better when he's more engaged by playing the field. But on the bad side, from a defensive perspective, I think you'd rather have Michael Brantley in left field than Yordan Alvarez. So taking Yordan out of the DH so that Michael Brantley can limits how good you can be defensively.
Yeah, it certainly limits how good you can be defensively. It also probably has to, you know, you have to have the equation, too, of when do you pull Yordan out of a game whenever you have a lead. And look, Dusty Baker went with the defensive alignment in a tie game last week. Hopefully that was just precautionary for Yordan Alvarez and he wouldn't do something so boneheaded in the playoffs. I don't think it changes much other than Brantley and Yordan now just flip-flop in the postseason where Yordan's in left field, Brantley's the designated hitter. I think that the only way that you might not see Brantley in the lineup, if Brantley's only your DH, there's a chance, I think, that he doesn't play against left-handed or doesn't start against left-handed.
You're going to try and strike that back up.
No,
again.
I'm not trying to jab you either. I'm trying to predict what Dusty's going to do.
You're adamantly in the belief that Michael Brantley shouldn't hit against left-handed hitters, and I'm like, that's Michael Brantley, professional hitter. In the playoffs, that's a guy I trust more than anybody on this roster, maybe short of Altuve and Yuli. But I believe that Michael Brantley, there's no way he can't be in the lineup every single day offensively, regardless of whether he's playing the field or not.
But isn't that such a great weapon to have off the bench in a late game, too? And you can use the excuse that maybe he doesn't play in the first five innings of a game with a lefty starting, and now you can put him in a tough spot, no. Whether it's for Martin Maldonado, who knows who he could pinch it for.
That's fine for Jason Castro or Aledmys Diaz or guys like that. That's not fine for a guy that's hitting that consistently for his career hits 300, that hits the gaps, that hits in timely fashion, that comes up big in big opportunities, that's an experienced veteran player that is well-respected and in some cases by pitchers feared when they have to pitch him where they're going to pitch him very, very carefully. I think there's just too much value in Michael Brantley to say, yeah, for one at-bat when we really need him, we're going to save him for that. That in the playoffs, you just don't do that.
Well, he's also not good against lefties. I mean, it's the facts. I mean, his numbers aren't very good, but it wasn't so much me like advocating for that. It's me trying to predict what Dusty Baker's going to do in the postseason. I'm trying to predict if Dusty Baker's going to sit him against lefties or not. My prediction is that he won't, even if he's just used as a designated hitter. And it is kind of scary to have Yordan Alvarez in the outfield every single game. And it's going to force Dusty to manage a little bit more because he is going to want to go to that defensive replacement for Yordan in left as quickly as he possibly can. One of the new injuries that we just found out about yesterday after the game is Ryan Pressly's having his knee act up on him again. And the reason we found out is because they were asking Dusty Baker, why in the world was Phil Maton pitching in the ninth inning of a tie game? And he gave up the lead, fortunately for the Astros and fortunately for Dusty Baker. The Astros were able to scratch two runs in the bottom of the ninth, get the come-from-behind victory. Here's Dusty Baker talking about the knee injury suddenly of Ryan Pressly.
Press is having the... You know, it's not his arm, it's not his elbow or nothing like that. So, you know, he wasn't available because, you know, he's having a little trouble, you know, with his, you know, with his knee that had been bothering him in the past. But he should be all right tomorrow.
So, an injury yesterday,
well,
but
you know,
suddenly he'll be
okay
tomorrow.
Well, you know, one day can make a difference in your knee, Jeremy.
Do you think that this was an excuse from Dusty Baker?
I do.
I do, too.
I absolutely do. I don't think there's any other way to look at it, because otherwise he might be, hey, we're hoping to have him pitch a couple of times before the end of the regular season so he's ready for the playoffs. If the fact is he didn't play last night, but he's going to be available to play tonight, and especially if he does actually pitch tonight, Dusty, you just blew your cover.
Yeah, I think he might have been using that to cover up a little bit.
Now, let me ask you this, because I heard the bench talking about this morning. It's something you and I discussed a week or so back. They were adamant this morning, and Lance was over-the-top adamant, Siri's your starting center fielder in the playoffs.
No, he's my third option.
Yeah, I don't see how that's even close
to possible. What was their rationale?
In terms of experience and because of the fact that...
Experience with Siri?
In terms of the fact that he's been the hottest hitter in September, and the fact that... I shouldn't say experience. The fact that he was the hottest hitter of the three of them in the month of September, that he has the wheels... And the glove and all the attributes, and he has power, that he should be the starting center fielder. And I'm like, okay, I've gone over this multiple times. If Myers isn't ever platooned and he just continues to be the starting center fielder, which Dusty let him do for a couple of weeks, He was hitting over 300. He was hitting with pop. He was running the bases better than anybody. Defensively, he was giving you signs of George Springer. And there was no reason to mess with him. But Dusty messes with him because he loves him some Chaz. He loves him some veterans. He plays his favorites. All these other things. But I don't get... You don't see Myers making base running decisions like we saw from Siri. You don't see either an average on Chaz anywhere close to either one of those two young guys and what they've done all season long. September's a quirky month with teams that are out of it, in it, and who's, you know, actually giving you a game and who's throwing their top AAA prospects at you. But you look at the body of work, and I just don't feel comfortable that in a short sample size, I'm going to start Siri in center field.
No, Siri wouldn't be my first option. He wouldn't be my second option. Now, I'm pretty certain he's going to be on this playoff roster. Like, we haven't seen Marwin Gonzalez in a while. Siri was used yesterday in a big spot to pinch run for Yordan Alvarez. Maybe Siri gets a start against lefties if you don't start Brantley against the lefty. We'll see. I liked what I saw from Chaz McCormick last night in the ninth inning. And look, I don't want to overreact to one plate appearance, but the ability to have a long plate appearance like that, work the count, get ahead of the count, foul off a bunch of tough pitches, I like that about Chaz McCormick because I didn't feel great with him in the spot, especially after he got two strikes. In fact, I thought he was going to strike out, but he battled, he fouled off some tough pitches. I like Chaz McCormick. I like Jake Myers more. But if I, again, predicting what Dusty Baker's going to do, I think he's going to start Chaz McCormick in center field against righties. I think he's going to start Jake Myers in center field against lefties. I think Jose Siri is just going to be a guy that comes off the bench to try to provide some sort of spark on the bases. I don't envision any way possible he starts a game in center field. Now, I could see him start maybe in the outfield against left-handed pitching if Dusty goes that route where he sits Brantley. And look, we still got to see Brantley back.
Like, Brantley.
What if Brantley goes 0 for the rest of the regular season?
The only way you sit Brantley is if he's hurt. If he's hurt, you sit him. Otherwise, there's no way in hell, especially as a veteran play favorites manager like Dusty Baker, you just know that Michael Brantley's a gamer. He's a professional hitter. He's a big-time player that steps up in big opportunities, and you never consider sitting him down.
Yeah, I get that.
The question ends up becoming, do all three of those guys make the roster? And if so, how that playoff roster looks, because the guys were talking about it again on the bench this morning. And I'm like, look, the biggest argument that you have right now about needing three catchers is if you're going to use multiple substitutions late in game, if you really are that worried about Maldonado's bat and or Castro consistently batting and or having an arm to throw guys out. But I don't think Garrett Stubbs is even in the equation. I think that you're going with two catchers and you hope that, you know, you don't have an injury if you make a late game substitution and you're going with as many bats that have can play multiple defensive positions as you can. You already have one in Diaz. If you want two, then you've got Marwin. But probably not, because what you're going to want is depth and opportunities for pinch runners as well as outfielders in the from a defensive perspective and extra bats. That's why I think all three, McCormick and Siri and Myers, make the team.
Yeah, I'm not so sure Marwin Gonzalez does, but I'm very confident that Jose Siri is going to make the roster. And in my mind, like, I posed the question, do you keep three catchers before a couple of weeks ago? I've eliminated that thought process from my mind. The Astros aren't even keeping three catchers right now with a 28-man roster. They're not going to keep three catchers with a 26-man roster. Also, did you see that soundbite from Dusty Baker yesterday? They asked him if he was going to stay up and watch the A's-Mariners game, and he said he would check out the score whenever he woke up and had to use the bathroom. I thought that was kind of funny of Dusty Baker.
So he checked the score, what, seven times?
I thought it was funny. A little self-awareness there from Dusty Baker. I thought that was pretty cool. All right, when we return, let's take a look at these 3-0 teams that you aren't buying, 0-3 teams that you think still might have a shot in the NFL. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, which 3-0 team is not for real? Which 0-3 team still has a sliver of hope in the NFL? You got five each way. You got five 3-0 teams. You have five 0-3 teams. I would say four of the five teams that are undefeated to start the season, you would have been shocked if I told you that they would start 3-0. Because you have the Rams. That's not a surprise. Nope. If you believed in Stafford, although they beat Tampa Bay at home, that was a good win. The other four, though, Arizona. You surprised
Carolina.
Arizona's 3-0?
Arizona early in the season. That's
not
where,
a great schedule.
Yeah, that's where you have to look at everybody's schedule is what I was going to say, because Arizona has enough talent whether you believe in J.J. Watt still have anything left or not. They still have enough talent on both sides of the ball. They're loaded at receiver, and they're deep at, as deep as they have to be running the ball, that you would say, you know what, based on how the schedule is, if they're not playing their divisional opponents, I could see that happening. If they're playing within their division, it would be a challenge to come out 3-0.
Las Vegas?
I did not see
them 3-0? Wins over Baltimore?
No, I
wins
think they're
over
a decent
Denver?
Team. I can't believe some of the people that predicted Carr would be the MVP.
Who predicted that?
So, Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn Johnson said not only that he thought Carr was a top five quarterback in the NFL, but he went so far as to say...
David Carr's brother?
Yeah. Yep.
I can't believe he said that. Now he's playing... I mean, I'm not
now,
sure
Marcus
I put him in
Spears
MVP
Spears is
level,
now on that bandwagon, too. He's starting to believe it.
You know who leads the league in passing? David Carr's brother.
See?
So, and kind of like by... A decent amount, like 100.
You can't believe Marcus
yards.
Spears as much, because Marcus Spears said after week one that what's old boy from the Saints, Jameis Winston, was going to be in the MVP conversation all year. How's that look right now?
Sean Payton wants Jameis Winston to throw the football in the teens. Like, if he's throwing more than 19 passes a game, that's a failure, Sean Payton feels like.
There's a problem with that, because Jameis Winston wants Jameis Winston to throw the ball a whole lot more.
I think he's matured a little bit.
Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't mean he's going to stop throwing the football.
He's had some heaves, hasn't he? Oh, like, boy. We all talked about, like, the smarter, take care of the football Jameis Winston. He's had some heaves so far in the first three games of the year. All right, so L.A., Arizona, not a surprise as much, because they're a talented team. They've had a weak schedule to this point. The Vegas Raiders, for sure a surprise. Denver Broncos?
No way.
Teddy Bridgewater?
No way. 3-0. Although, I've been a believer in Teddy Two Gloves more than you, for sure, when we've gone back and forth on this. I didn't think they'd be 3-0, but I thought that they would be okay because of Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, I didn't, I'll be honest. And then Carolina, who's a team that I've liked, I didn't expect them to be 3-0. I thought that they had a better roster than, you know, the win predictions were giving them. I think that they have a pretty good young defense. I like the offense more than some, although McCaffrey being out now, that hurts a little bit. But nobody saw 3-0 coming for Carolina either, right?
Think they give Dallas a game this weekend?
No, not without McCaffrey.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
But losing McCaffrey is a big loss for them, because now you can kind of size up what you want to do defensively. Although Hubbard looked okay, although that was against the Texans.
More so,
defense.
You got to make Darnold throw it all over the place. You can't just look for the long ball every so often when you're sucking the defense in because they're playing for the run and the short pass to McCaffrey. Now Darnold's going to have to make some really smart throws. You're going to see what they got in Sam Darnold in the next couple weeks.
All right, so which 3-0 team you feel the most solid about? The Rams, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel good about the Cardinals. All right, which one of the three that we didn't think would be 3-0, and they're not just taking advantage of a poor schedule, the Raiders, the Broncos, the Panthers, which of those three are you feeling the best about?
I feel the best about the Raiders.
Okay, all right.
Because of the fact that I think they have the most talent on both sides of the football. To stay competitive. The problem is the division.
I can't wait to get more Musburger calls on the show.
Stop it. I feel the worst about the Panthers because of injuries and the fact that they're fool's gold. And I think
that's a pretty good fact there.
And I believe that from the standpoint of the Cardinals, that division is just the gauntlet.
It is tough.
And it's going to get a lot tougher. And when you start facing back-to-back games against the likes of the Rams and the Niners and the Seahawks, then the real Cardinals are going to have to step up. I think the Cardinals could sneak into a wild card. I don't think the Cardinals are going to continue a run of dominance starting out 3-0.
Can the Cardinals finish second place in the NFC West, ahead of San Francisco, ahead of Seattle?
They can finish ahead of San Francisco. I don't know that they can finish ahead of Seattle. I think they have a chance, a fighter's chance. But because San Francisco's dinged up.
And but you think more of Seattle than San Fran. See, I'm the other way around. I
because
think more
of
San Fran than Seattle.
Because of the injuries. Otherwise, I would. San Francisco, in watching them play the other night, I still think they could have taken more advantage of the Packers' defense, and they didn't do that. I think it was in part because of their limited running game and also because they're still staying loyal to Jimmy G. But I think that there's more talent on the Niners, but there's also more injuries. So I would lean the fact that the Cardinals' best bet is to beat out the Seahawks for the second spot.
San Francisco's offense has not impressed me. Like, I haven't been disappointed in Jimmy G.
And with a guy like Shanahan, it should.
It should, but like the game that they had in week two against Philly, and I understand that's on the road and a cross-country flight, all of that, but that was an abysmal offensive game. They didn't look great offensively against Green Bay either.
What about
I don't
Detroit?
Think Green Bay's
they let them back
great.
In the ballgame.
But at least they scored in that game. Like, you believe the offense there. But like, I'm not so sure San Francisco's all that great. I mean, yeah, letting Detroit back into the ballgame, hanging on to barely beat Philadelphia, a game in which the offense looked bad. They were very close to getting blown out of that game against Green Bay. Like, they did a good job of sticking around. Shanahan got a little gutsy there at the end of the first half,
return,
too.
The kick return helped them immensely.
Yeah, so I'm not sold on San Fran. I'm not really that sold on Seattle, though, either.
And the Packers went for it inside the 10, other than taking the points. Otherwise, we might have another discussion just if it went down to Aaron Rodgers or not.
That game was on the cusp of being a blowout. It turned out to be a game in which San Francisco actually almost won and would have won if it wasn't for some late heroics from Aaron Rodgers. All right, so those are the 3-0 teams. The 5-0-3 teams, you have the New York Jets, Jacksonville, the Colts, the New York Football Giants, the Detroit Lions. I mean, I don't think it's a surprise maybe that any of those teams are 0-3, maybe outside of the Colts. Like, I don't think that I had the Colts going 0-3 in the first 3 weeks of the season.
I think the Colts are the strongest of those teams to say that they could turn it around, and they're the best of all those teams. But because an 0-3 hole, yeah, the division's not great, so there's the ability to play. You know, you're going to play the Texans twice. You're going to play the Jaguars twice. You're going to play teams where you're going to get healthy and get right on. So that's going to help you. Quarterback's a big question mark, and whether Wentz plays the majority of the snaps or not, it's going to play a big factor in can they get good quarterback play out of whoever to make it worthwhile. But they're the best of the teams that are 0-3.
I don't give any of those teams a shot. I'm with you that the Colts have the best 0-3 team, and if I had to pick one 0-3 team to come out of this 0-3 hole to make the playoffs, I would pick the Colts too, mostly because of the division. Like, the division's pretty terrible. They can beat up on Jacksonville twice. They can beat up on the Texans twice. They can win the second game against Tennessee. Maybe you sneak some wins along the way. The Titans don't look all that great. I mean, if any of the 0-3 teams can go from 0-3 to the playoffs, my money would be on the Colts just because of the division they play in. And, like, the Titans aren't going to run away and hide from anybody either. The Titans aren't going to, like, win 12 games this season and be totally out of reach. I think at the end of the day, the Titans do win the division comfortably. But the Colts, if they get it right, they could make a run.
Yeah, they can. And that's why I said they're the best of those teams. The rest of those teams, I don't think, have a snowball's chance in hell of making the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't either. 713-780-3776. Which 3-0 team are you not buying? Which 0-3 team still has a shot? 713-780-ESPN. Did you see Jalen? Is it Rieger or Rager? It's Rieger, right? He wants to fight fans on Twitter. They were talking about how he didn't give them any fantasy points. He said this fan, DM'd him. He said, if you get 13 plus fantasy points, I'll buy you a Big Mac. He didn't do it. He started saying, he said, you suck, man. And then he went back at him, just talking a lot of trash. And he wanted him to drop his address, which he did not do.
So, no, that and the thing is, I was wondering, like, how quick is Jalen Rieger the guy, Del? No, he wasn't the guy that said trash ass city, right? Denzel Mims said that. But Jalen, I wonder how quickly he was getting calls from the Philadelphia PR department.
I ain't like that dirty ass trash ass city.
Yeah, like, you're in Philadelphia, Chief. Do you realize how harsh the fan base, the media, and everybody is? You better have thicker skin and realize you can't be fighting some fan over some comments on Twitter over a Big Mac, because you're going to get a whole lot more than that. I know that in the organizations I've worked for, the PR department could not be on the cell phone fast enough going, what are you doing?
This conversation's hilarious, and I think I'm taking the fan side of this because the fan, I think, might be the funny guy here. The fan said, if you get 13 points, I'll buy you a Big Mac. You suck, man. Wow. And then Jalen said, N-word, F-word, you. Drop your addy. Yeah, N-word, doing all that talking. Y'all F-word fans talk too damn much. I'll knock your soft ass out. And then the fan goes, man, relax. You're not going to get a Big Mac talking to me like that. And then Rieger goes, yeah, now it's relax, B. I'll beat you the F up. Drop your addy, S-A-N.
You sure this isn't a text I sent you last week?
I'll end all that B-A talking quick. And then the guy goes, man, aren't you 5'10"? You better relax or I'm telling Sirianni. The fan is hilarious in this. I think we're burying the lead in all of this.
Oh, but I think that's the essence of what the cowardly keyboard warrior is, right? They have personality. They don't think there's any. They're the Joe Kellys of the social media world.
That was hilarious.
Where they can take their pot shots, they can throw the blows, and then they can turn and run, and you can never find me. There have been, let me just say, that there have been hosts within this market that do the same thing on social media, and when the person being called out or name called wants to meet them at the station, they suddenly don't. Yeah. They're not there.
What a shock there. What a shock there. Meanwhile, Pat Mahomes has taken to Twitter to tell the Chiefs fans to give them hope. Like, who's not giving Kansas City hope? They're 1-2. Like, this is Pat Mahomes trying to be Rodgers with the R-E-L-A-X.
I was just
going to
say, they do State Farm commercials. Like, why don't you just ask, hey, Aaron, you mind if I use that? Because the R-E-L-A-X thing fits here so perfectly.
Who are doubting the Chiefs? Like, why does he have to give a message to the Chiefs fans that that they're not going to be back? He said, a little adversity never hurts. Hashtag Chiefs Kingdom. We'll be back soon. All you can do is keep working. Nobody's doubting you. Nobody's doubting you, Pat. We think Kansas City is going to be just fine.
Eagles PR, by the way, according to Dell, said that the Eagles PR is saying that the whole conversation was faked. If that was faked, it would have been taken down.
Man, that's disappointing if it is fake, because I really like the fan.
And who's faking it? Who's putting it up there? Because at the same time, too, if you're the receiver, does it make you look good, to look tough?
Well, I guess the fan could fake it to make him look funny, because he did have the funny side of it. Let's take a quick call. HRMP listener line. Let's go to Clarence. Clarence, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Going on, boys?
What's up?
Big C, get off of Twitch. Talk on the phone. What do you got?
Okay, the 3-0 team I'm not buying is the Panthers.
All right.
This is, you call them fool's gold. I call them a team of circumstances. I can't remember who they played week one, but week two, you're coming off a Saints team who has virtually no assistant coaches, mixing six defensive players, including four starters.
They beat the Jets in week one.
And then you...
Oh, he's talking about his Saints. Oh,
I know, okay. He is.
Jets. No, I'm saying Jets, woohoo. And then you go to week three and they play a Texans who come off missing their starting quarterback. And outside of that, they're playing a rookie quarterback. It's just, they're a team of circumstances right now. And we'll find out who they are in week four, even though I don't put much stock in the Cowboys like everybody else do.
All right.
Still, they need to come up against a juggernaut.
Yeah, I think you're right. They are a team of circumstance. Like, the Jets have looked awful since week one. That's the best the Jets have looked. The Saints, like, I'm giving the Saints the pass in week two. They were out everybody, it seemed like, with COVID. Now, their best, I mean, they came into Houston on a short week on a Thursday night. They beat the AFC South team that was tied for first place. Big win for Carolina to improve to 3-0. I think they get hammered by Dallas this week, though. I'm teasing. Tongue in cheek. You can tell I'm teasing. All right, coming up next. Have you seen Bryce?
You said it again!
Coming up next, y'all, take a look at what we missed. How about Bryson DeChambeau doing what he's doing? We'll talk to one of the guys of the Wheelhouse, too. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Welcome back into The Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5. If you're watching twitch.tv,
Jeremy's face is a-glistening.
It's hot. What do you want me to tell you?
Sweaty pace, pits are misting.
You know, you're sitting here making fun of me for sweating a little bit. You should be thanking me for aiming the fan in your direction.
You did nothing of the sort.
You're right.
And you tried to manipulate it your way several times.
I didn't try to manipulate it once.
I
messed with the settings to see if it would, like, rotate. But
I would call that manipulation, BK. What would you call it?
Do we get hazard pay for this?
It's a question that needs to be answered and addressed. A
little overtime for working without
AC.
Let's
go to the HRNP listener line.
You probably have the best seat in the house. That's Brad Kellner, if you didn't notice. He'll be with you 3 to 7 on the Wheelhouse. That thing's pointed right in the middle.
This is nice. I usually hate sitting in the middle.
Yeah.
My neck hurts having to look at both of those two jabronis, but today it's going to be nice.
The neck's doing
you
all right.
You got the neck brace?
Neck brace is at home.
Okay.
Don't need it today, but we'll probably need it soon. I'm hurting a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. That is kind of hard to do.
Like, that's your hazard pay.
Yeah.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even with us, like, you kind of look out of the corner of your eye a little bit. It's kind of awkward.
Yeah, I like looking at people when they talk. I guess, like, I could look straight ahead, but that's not really my M.O., big eye contact guys.
That's
so.
What asthma does.
Before you know it, you're Zach Greinke. And then you got a full-blown neck problem, and then you can't do your job.
Yep.
That's the way it goes.
I'll take his paycheck.
I would, too.
It's a great Houston sports bit, right? We've all talked about the hamstring injuries for years being associated with Houston sports stars. Now it feels like guys being paid a boatload of money to not play, that seems to be the new Houston sports mantra.
Could be the whole NBA mantra, too, if more guys decide to not get vaccinated.
Yeah, that's a great bit.
Man.
Even if Kyrie Irving was pro-vax, I feel like he wouldn't get vaccinated just so he could get paid to not play. Like, that guy looks for any excuse he can to not get on court and still make his money. This is perfect for him.
That's why I said, Jeremy and I were talking about it, I said, here's the thing. If you're the Nets, and you're Marks, Sean Marks right now, you go, hey, we got a solution for this, and you can stay not vaccinated. You know what we're going to do? We're going to trade you, and then we're going to get rid of all you and all your headaches and all your problems and all of your inability to play when we need you, and we'll get at least a bowl of soup.
Mm. All right, Rockets guys, Kyrie to Houston for John Wall and something.
I would
take
do that
it
in
right
a
now.
Heartbeat.
Right okay. now, 10 times over.
I mean, Kyrie, of course, is the better player than John Wall. There's no debate there. But do you want the headache of Kyrie Irving in a rebuild?
Well,
which even with Kyrie Irving, you're still rebuilding.
It's interesting in the fact that I've been harping on the reason why you want to get rid of Wall and Gordon and even maybe Christian Wood is because they could negatively affect the growth and development of your young players. There's no doubt that the actions of Kyrie Irving could negatively affect the growth of your young players.
Yep.
Is that team a playoff team?
Who?
Kyrie Irving. You replace Wall with Kyrie Irving.
As look, long Brooklyn's as you've got the best that, player on the planet right now in Kevin Durant and James Harden.
No. The Rockets side of that. Are
no,
the Rockets a playoff
God,
team
no.
with Kyrie Irving?
No.
I mean, they could be the 10 seed.
Yeah, they might be in the play-in tournament
yeah.
at best.
That's the playoffs. That's playoff that counts.
Yeah, and plus, like, they'd have to give up a lot more, obviously, than just John Wall to get Kyrie here. So the guys they'd give up, probably not.
So you guys are having Kubiak on at 4:30. Greatest Texans coach in NFL history? Or, yeah, greatest Texans coach in franchise history. I said that funny.
Yes.
Mm. Better
Absolutely.
Than O'Brien.
I said so, too.
Yeah.
Brian's got more division titles.
That's true.
And then the best quarterback you'll be able to hear in Houston at 5:30 with Joe Theismann.
Is that what he did? I thought he was
just
the guy from the Super Beta Prostate commercials.
No, just
I didn't realize
him.
He was doing anything else.
He was Theismann
mm-hmm.
until in college he had a chance to win the Heisman
yep.
and then became Theismann.
Well, he admits that? Good. He admits to that?
Does
yeah.
he?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. That's,
yeah,
I'm
I believe
okay.
that. I believe that there's whether he admits to the reason why he changed it, but he did ironically make sure people said it the right way going into the Heisman season.
That's just good marketing, I think.
Joe loves him some Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be good. Which of these 3-0 teams in the NFL are you not taking seriously, BK? We were just talking about this. Vegas, Denver, Carolina, L.A., Arizona. Which team is not making the playoffs?
Man, I feel like Denver is the safest bet there. I mean, it's Denver
Carolina.
Or Vegas, right? Yeah, Carolina, too. That's true. Carolina, too.
McCaffrey.
Yep. Yeah, if McCaffrey's going to miss a significant part of the season. I don't know. I guess my point is, and our combined point is, there are a lot of 3-0 teams that you're not really bought in on.
Right.
Like, the Rams are the class of the league right now. There's no question about them. They're separate from anybody else, but especially those 3-0 football teams. But and Arizona, like with Cliff Kingsbury there, you guys have talked about that a lot over the last couple of days. Like that guy still feels like he could hold them back over the course of this season. They should have lost that game to Minnesota, yeah. too. And then, yeah, I mean, the Raiders and Broncos, they play in the AFC West. That division a lot better than people thought. The Broncos haven't played anybody. And then Carolina, yeah, with Christian McCaffrey out, they could be they could hit a little bit of a slide here.
They beat a first-place team last week, though. Carolina did.
They did.
Here we go.
That is accurate. That is very accurate.
But BK, we'll have this conversation. the bigger thing is you'd like to ask the question of, hey, if there was someone coaching this team other than Kingsbury, would they be in a better position? But they're 3-0. If you asked me this at the midway point, I think we'd have a different answer because now with some losses and maybe the way they lose games, you go, yeah, you know what? Cliff Kingsbury, he hasn't grasped that pro coaching thing yet.
I think making the playoffs would be the worst thing ever for Arizona.
Why?
Because I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. And I think if they just get into the postseason, they're going to keep Cliff.
Yeah.
And I think Cliff's holding them back. Like, I think if they brought in a better coach, they could be a legit Super Bowl contender. I don't think that's the case with Cliff. And I think he has to make the postseason to keep his job. So if they get a wild card spot and lose round one, they're going to keep a bad coach. And I think that's going to keep him in limbo for another year.
They love the offense there, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's the brand of Arizona football right now is almost like run and shoot, sling the ball all over the field. Like,
what
I think they
NFL
love that
coach,
brand.
Though, coming into that job, wouldn't love that offense to deal with, to do whatever they wanted to do and run whatever they wanted to run.
It'd be ironic if they hired Lincoln Riley to take over for Cliff Kingsbury.
Hey, as a Texas fan, I'd be cool with that. Get Lincoln Riley out of Norman. I got no problem with that.
Get him out of the
down.
SEC.
Yeah.
All right. So Kubiak at 4:30. Theismann, the Heisman at 5:30. What else you guys got going on?
We're talking about this Bill O'Brien report, right? The story from Seth Wickersham. Y'all were talking about that earlier today. We'll get into that a lot. And we'll try to figure out if there will be a celebration at the Juice Box tonight.
Yeah. Will you be talking about Benedict Branham?
Yeah, you guys can't get me out of your heads. Not you specifically, but Asmund and Stooge. I've said Benedict Branham more times than y'all said Astros the last 2 days.
Hey, don't associate me with that. I haven't called you
the
that
Wilhelms,
once.
As a collective unit.
I did call you a communist, and you are wearing red today, so the red scare is back, I believe.
Go Cougs. I have to own that one. I'm just teasing.
Yeah?
I have to own. If I'm betting Team Europe in the Ryder Cup, I have to own that one. I know Poncho like has my side on that, the fellow Hispanic, but look, I got to wear that one. I bet Team Europe I'm wearing that one. That's nothing that you guys are doing wrong. We'll be checking it out, 3-7.
Thanks, fellas.
Good to see you, buddy.
Brad Kellner will be on with Jake Asman, Cody Stoots, 3 to 7, the Wheelhouse.
You like your boy Bryson DeChambeau, by the way, getting in the long drive?
412-yard drive yesterday in the long drive. Do I like it? Sure. It's entertaining,
I guess.
Did
you hear what he said, though, leading into the Ryder Cup about how it's had such an adverse effect on his grip and his hands and he's worn out? Then why the hell are you doing it, except for ego and maybe your sponsors that want the extra run and the extra play? Because otherwise,
you nailed it.
but going into the Ryder Cup when you need, you know, it means something to not only make the team but do well. Ask Rory McIlroy. The last thing you want to do is go, yeah, I sucked, but it was because I was trying to get ready for the long drive.
That would have been a bad look had they performed poorly in the Ryder Cup, but they won 19-9. There was no bad look for the Americans over the weekend with the Ryder Cup.
His longest drive in his history, I believe, is like 419. The guy who won it last year had a 430-something, so he's got some work to do.
Do you think that he swings as hard as he possibly can, like on some tee shots on tour in tournaments that he does in the long drive competition?
I believe that the difference between what he does on tour and what he does in the long drive is they go, and Dell's going to save this, they go with elongated shafts, they go with doctored up clubs, because it's one thing to say I got to hit every fairway on a course, in which you're going to make some alterations to your equipment so that it's more controllable. In the long drive, you can hit a couple out of bounds and it doesn't cost you. They go with like 50 some inch, 60 inch driver shafts on their drivers and doctored up heads in which the degree of loft is like a 4,
right,
so that it runs forever.
More volatile.
Yeah.
But you think the swing speed's the same?
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
Who won it, though, was over 200.
200 swing speed?
200 swing speed. 200 miles an hour.
Gosh.
All right, that's nuts.
That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Dell for doing all the hard work. He's Joel. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston, the Wheelhouse, next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details. Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.